All right. Well, good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melissa C., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 55, the third paragraph. We finally saw that faith through one paragraph ending, "It was so with us," comments on one paragraph. Readers of the text today are, for the 12 steps, Maureen B., 12 traditions, Michelle M. Readers of the text are Teresa A. and Jessica C., and the newcomer greeter is Felicia F., and our second hour host is the reference numbers for Sunday, August 2nd, special edition, is 23,687. That's 23,687. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of action. And I will now ask Maureen B. to read those 12 steps. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, everyone. I'm Maureen B., recovering in Michigan. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Maureen D. I will now ask Michelle M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, everyone. This is Michelle N. a recovered compulsive eater in Arizona. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ social workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Alcoholics Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Michelle M. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. And you'll hear my timer go off, and I'll let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic, though. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 55, third paragraph. We finally saw that faith through one paragraph ending. It was so with us. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And I will now ask Teresa A. to begin reading. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you very much. My name is Teresa A., and I'm a grateful member of OA in Silver Spring, Maryland. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was just so with us. So thank you so much. I'm really grateful to be able to reflect on this particular paragraph. And it talks about finding God within us. It follows up from the previous paragraph. And it says that in order to do that, we had to search fearlessly. That sounds like a lot of hard work. It sounds like a bold excursion, right? Some expedition that we have to go on. But for me, to search fearlessly actually means that I need to simply get quiet, settle in, and get present. Because not only is God within me, God is in the present moment. So there's something about getting calm and quiet in the moment. And for someone like me, who is an avid doer, and constantly checking boxes and trying to get things done, it's sometimes hard to just settle in and get quiet. One of the best gifts that I get from my sponsor, when we start a phone call and I want to go into what happened and this and this and this, and she says, let's get quiet. Well, that's because we're inviting God in. And it is an invitation. I think of Ebby's conversation at the table with Bill. And on page 12, he says, why don't you find your own conception of God? I love that it's an inquiry and not a directive. He didn't say, well, Bill, just find your own conception of God. He asked it as a question. It was an invitation. This is something that we choose to do. It's our choice if we want to tap in and find God. And then it tells us that when we do that, that it is only there that he may be found. I also wanted to talk about he and the hymns throughout this paragraph and throughout this chapter and throughout this book. In We Agnostics, there are about 20 different synonyms for God. I was taught that whenever there's a capital letter, that it is referring to God. So there are words like realm of spirit, all-powerful, great reality, reason, creator. One thing I had to do was to change my conception of the word he and him and look at them as just another capital letter that means God. It happens to reflect the beliefs of the people who wrote it and their image. But if I take out my own prejudices and think of it as just another word like power, then I can connect with it. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Teresa A. Okay, so before we continue and I take names, I'm going to remind you, our meeting has many participants, and in an effort to hear from a variety of voices, we ask you to share no more than every third day. So please, if you shared Friday of last week or Thursday on any of our meetings, please hold back so that others may share. And who would like to share? I'll take some names.
Kelly G.
Polly G.
Rivka R.
Before Rivka, there was someone. Rivka R. Who is that?
Kelly G.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Polly. I had Polly. Polly. And then the...
Kelly. It was Kelly G, Melissa. Kelly.
Can you
G.
spell it? I'm sorry. It's Kelly.
K-E-L-L-Y.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. Kelly. I'm sorry.
That's
you should know your voice, Kelly. Okay. Kelly G, Lisa B, Rivka R.
Ken W-H.
Ken W-H. Great. Who else?
Robin P in Tennessee.
Robin P. Who else?
Gwyneth W.
Janice W.
Lyneth, L-Y-N-N-E-T-H.
Oh, Lyneth, I'm having a heck of a time hearing.
Mary K.
Okay, Lyneth.
Leia S.
I'm going to stop right there. It was not Janice W., correct? It was Lyneth W., right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lyneth. Woo! Okay, so here's the lineup. Kelly G., Lisa B., Rivka R., Ken W.H., Robin P., Lyneth W, and Larry K, and Leah S. All right, so let's get started. Go ahead, Kelly G.
Good morning, Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Melissa, thank you for your service and beautiful share this morning. I love this. I love this part in the big book. When I am going through a situation, it is so hard to see God. It is so hard to understand God, what is the lesson here? And I heard someone once share with me that you can only connect the dots when you're looking back, right? So when you're in this tunnel of unknown and uncertainty and not understanding God, when I look back in my life and I see all the times where I did not understand God's will, I did not understand why something was happening, every dot created this image that made sense and was beautiful. And I could only see that after the fact. And so, sometimes I would get current, like right now, there's a lot of uncertainty in my life and I don't understand it. And when I pray in the morning, it's like, God, what? Thank you. Whatever your will is for me, thank you. I don't understand this, but I trust you and I love you. And it's like, when I seek, I shall receive. And sometimes my prayer in the morning is just like, God, please show me who I can help. Like, please help me live out my purpose today, because I know that I need to keep out of my own way and my own head so I can let God in, right? Like in a driver's seat, there's not room for two. There's just room for one. So if I'm in the driver's seat, God's not. So I love this paragraph. That's all I'm going to share. Have a beautiful day.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelly G, for that. And next up is Lisa B., followed by Rivka R. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Lisa B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And thank you, Teresa A., for your lead. It was really wonderful to hear. What stands out for me is the word finally. And, finally may not mean that faith suddenly appeared, but I think what I'm hearing that it means is that after repeatedly acting in faith, asking for help, and then following the directions, they finally recognized something that had been there all along. And that's my experience. I picture myself as a house, and within that house is a room that was made there. It's been created to be there. And it's especially for my higher power. It's made by my higher power, and it's for my higher power. And that room can exist, but it may remain totally unopened and unused. And I may believe that God is there, but a relationship grows only when I enter that room and spend time there and allow his presence to affect how I live. And that's what I find through the steps. When I don't allow that relationship to thrive, I do become restless and I begin looking outside of myself for satisfaction and comfort and security. And that's when I can confuse the great reality with the great illusion. The illusion tells me that food and people and circumstances or control can fill that space and give me what I need, but they never satisfy me for long. And it just makes the pain worse. And I'm beginning to see that that longing and restlessness may actually be pointing me toward God. Hello, wake up and see that. They may be reminding me that I'm trying to receive spiritual comfort from something that cannot provide. I need God's help to help me allow to receive his help. And my prayer is often, God, help me to allow you to help me. And asking for help ignites the faith that is already part of my makeup. So the 12 steps are like they're a treasure map. And the treasure map does not lead me to a distant God. It leads me through the things that obscure that relationship, like fear and resentment and self-will and food and dependence on people, places, and things, back to the great reality, which is deep down within me. So finally, gives me hope. I do not have to manufacture faith to create God's presence. I keep taking the actions through the 12 steps, opening the room and allowing the relationship to grow. And it grows with my fellows. Eventually, I recognize that the treasure I had been searching for was there all along. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much, Lisa B. And next up is Rivka R., followed by Ken W.H. Good morning, Rivka.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks so much for your service. And Teresa, for your share and all the shares have been so helpful this morning. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. I could accept that the God is as much a fact as I am, because that does make sense. I mean, I certainly didn't create myself, and the universe is way too complex and intricate to say it was all random. Like, that's like saying I threw some ink on a piece of paper and a Beethoven sonata appeared. But what I learned on this line was what a relationship with my Creator looks like. Like I heard, and thank you, Melissa. I don't like your plan, but I trust your plan. Like, that really rocked my world. And I started saying things that I had avoided for years, like, you know, "Thy will, not mine, be done," which was really hard in the beginning. And even though I had worked through the steps a number of times in the past, and I did have periods of abstinence, I had really no clue how much self I was holding on to. Just a few weeks ago, a fellow said something on this line that finally sunk in. And I've heard her say it before over the last few years, but it was one of those things that, like, I didn't know how to do until, like, I finally became willing to just do it. So she said, "I can't give 1% to what others think of me and 99% to God. I need to give 100% to God." So these last few weeks, like, every time I felt anxiety or fear, you know, I would just say out loud, like, "I don't want to give 1% to this fear. I want to give you 100%, God." And immediately I would, like, feel this, like, calmness and peace inside. And so that's what I think, like, finding the great reality deep down, like, means for me. I've been learning for the past 50 years of my 71 years that, you know, what my religion says about God, and it says something that is just a perfect analogy for recovery from addiction. The first of the Ten Commandments is telling me to have an awareness of a personal relationship with my Creator. "I am the eternal, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Which seems bizarre, you know, this doesn't sound like a commandment. But here's the incredible thing. Like, the word for Egypt in Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and it means like a narrow, limited place, a place I can't free myself from, a place of bondage and slavery and torment. And this very first commandment is to know that God, know the eternal is a personal God to me, who takes me out of the house in bondage. And where have I heard something like that before? You know, relieve me of the bondage of self so I can better do thy will. Like, this is how I can have a relationship. I was caught in such an obsession, so complete, that I lost all perspective and dignity around food. Not for my timer, so I'll end with this. But, you know, I need to be, when I'm willing to put that food down and work the steps and try and follow God into the desert, you know, a place where I'm not in control, but I'm willing to have a relationship of trust and reliance, that frees me to live a life of gratitude and love and growth today. So thankful, and thank you so much. And I pass.
Okay, thank you so much, Rivka R. Next up is Ken W.H., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Ken.
Thank you, Melissa. Hi, good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. This is one of those paragraphs where the "we" is, I struggle with the word "we" at the beginning of it, because it's really an individual situation here. I finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of my makeup. I can't speak for anyone else. It says we found the great reality deep within. I found that. I don't know that that's true for everybody, and I can't speak for that. I have to put this in terms of my personal relationship. I know Bill was speaking for a group of about 100 people or so when this was written, and that might have been the case for them in 1939 or 37 or whenever have been the case for that group, and that was part of the makeup of the culture. But I think it's different today, and I still need to look at it from my own point of view. And I do have a different perspective in some things when it comes to talking in this realm of the spirit, the realm of God, the realm of theology, the realm of just things outside of myself. What the bottom line becomes for me ultimately is that I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, period. That's what I came to believe, and I came to believe that this power could do this for me. The way that power has lived out in my life is probably different than anybody else's, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be the way I live it out. As much as I might like you to experience what I've experienced, I can't put that upon you as a requirement. The fact is, for some, this paragraph doesn't read well, and I have to respect them for that, that they can't relate particularly to the words here. But I can, and I know, for me, that without that power greater than myself, my problem would not be solved, and I'd still be in the mess. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken W.H. Next up is Robin P., followed
Thanks,
by Lynneth W. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Melissa. It's always so great to hear your voice, and thank you for the lead share. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive reader in Franklin, Tennessee. And so grateful to be on this meeting. You know, I came into the room a devout atheist. I was raised that way, and had this was my bridge to God. And I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety. And I'm so grateful. And you know, I walk hand in hand with God today, and trudging that road of happy destiny. And wow, it has been quite a faith walk. I'm in a growth spurt, and you know, we drove. We said we did the road to nowhere for a weekend last weekend, trying to bring our dogs to someone, and we realized that we couldn't do it. That after driving all weekend towards Cape Cod and back, and turning around, and going again, that these dogs are our family, and from Costa Rica, who adopted us there, and we are seeing how to take them with us to London. And, you know, I love traveling, but moving is different than traveling. And I've been learning so much. And we've been planning this for a year, my husband and myself, and we're not sure that it's God's will. And especially with the dogs and everything. And so, no work. And so I've been doing 10 steps and two-way prayer and pro-con list and reaching out and asking for help and growing up. Another spurt, you know, another growth spurt. And it's this faith that, you know, it's this faith in some kind of a God, this great reality. God is the great reality, not the fear. I get to choose, am I on this fear walk or a faith walk? And I am on a faith walk today, and God's got me. God is holding my hand through this process, seeing what's really important to me. Is performing most important, or is having my freedom as a senior citizen traveling? You know, it's like, what do I really want, and what does God really want for me? You know, if I go to London and do this master's program in musical theater, it's 9 to 6 Monday through Friday, and it's a ton of work. And, you know, just can I handle it mentally and physically at my, you know, at this age, and keep up with all the, you know, youngins, you know? And it's just, I get to keep surrendering. I don't know what's best for all concerned. I keep praying, bless it or block it, whatever is best for all involved. And I do want God's will today. That's the miracle. That's the blessing. I want to walk hand in hand with this great reality. And thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Before Lynneth shares, I'm just going to let people know where we are. Page 55, the third paragraph, we finally saw that faith through one paragraph ending, "It was so with us." And Lyneth W., followed by Larry K. Good morning, Lyneth.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for your service. This paragraph made me think about my experience going through the steps and how before that, I looked for my higher power externally. My higher power, who I call God, always seemed so far removed from me. It seemed unattainable. It was, it was a statue. It was a figure. It was something that was not an innate part of my day-to-day life. And by working the steps and going through this program, that has changed, and I'm so thankful for that. And, I learned that for me, God was this still small voice inside me. It was that gut feeling, not something externally yelling and screaming at me, but this small gut feeling that I had been feeling for years and years and years, but never identified it as that. It wasn't my brain. My brain is what kept me in the food. It was this innate, where it says we found this great reality deep down within us. That was what my higher power was to me. And through that, I've learned that my higher power is there not just for big, crazy life events, the death of a loved one or change in job or whatnot, but, going to the dentist or, paying a bill or dealing with somebody difficult at work or having family come visit, that God is with me all the time. I don't have to look outward to access that higher power, and spending that prayer and meditation time with Him every day is what keeps me connected. Helps me build that relationship. And I'm so thankful that this program has helped me realize that and learn that and experience that. I'm forever thankful for that. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lyneth. Okay, next up is Larry K., followed by Leah S. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Melissa. I'm Larry K. I'm recovered, calling from Chicago. I'll get a little graphic here, so my apologies prior. No swearing, just graphic. It ties into this paragraph. There was a gentleman that I met. There was a meeting in a suburb called Winfield, and it was the mental health wing of a larger hospital, Central DuPage Hospital. I think it's still there. I used to go to the meeting. Young guy. So they would have people that would come down, morbidly obese. Gentleman came down in his 30s, I would guess. He rolled in the wheelchair. On oxygen, probably at least 600 pounds would just be my guess. And he came for a nice guy, heck of a nice guy. And eventually he asked to sit down and chat with me. And he said, I can't buy into this God notion. This was stuffed and crammed down my throat from the earliest times, such a source of pain. I just can't do that. And, I talked to him about theological means relating to the study of God, religion. This isn't about that. It can be for someone. You'll find people in the rooms that's what it's about, but it doesn't have to be. There are atheists in this room that have other principles of integrity and love and all sorts of different things that are part of the integrated nature of their higher power, of their own understanding, and that's more than sufficient. But, what I wish for everyone with my story, in a solemn, respectful way, is to see someone who dies directly from acute overconsumption of food, the physical presentation of that person. And what it involves, because I saw it in this guy, he died, he's never coming back, and severe, painful abdominal distension and cardiovascular collapse and shock and asphyxiation and all those things that come with morbid obesity. We don't always talk about this stuff. Easier to talk, death from alcohol poisoning. you know, a person falls into a coma and so forth. We don't always talk about this stuff, but he, that was the hill that he died on. He just couldn't accept any notion of a power greater than himself. And he eventually left. And I remember seeing him wheeling around in my local Walmart, and we talked, and he said, yeah, I found my solution. It's a liquid diet, and it's swimming, and it's under the care of a doctor. And I said, great, you know, well, he's dead today, and he died. And it wasn't, you know, he didn't die by himself. There were people that saw just how horrible. I saw it too. This disease is grave. We can find access to a higher power, whether theological or not. It's more than sufficient. Don't let this be the hill that you're going to die on. And I've heard that said, and that's very true for me. I thank God that, thank my higher power that I was able to find my way into this program, work these steps, and have a spiritual transformation. So with that, I pass. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Larry. Yeah, my gosh, there for the grace of God. Okay, next up is Leah S., and then we will take some more names. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I am recovered in upstate New York at this time. So I had a hard time in actually accepting within myself the word of higher power. And the reason was that I was fooling myself. I was kind of doing things that you're supposed to do, but not really feeling it. And so it was really difficult. It was hypocritical for me to start saying, hey, you know what, please do this for me. And that's the way I really viewed that God has to, you know, because if God is infinite, he can do anything and everything. But the real concept started when it became personal. When I found it within me, it started becoming personal. And when it started becoming personal, the first time in a long, long time, that real tears started coming because I was acknowledging the negativities of my life and what I was angry about. And I was allowing that to come through. On page 417, I literally studied that page every single day. Nothing happens in God's world that is not meant to happen. And if it's meant to happen to me, I don't understand it, but I'm finally understanding that you made it happen. This is my higher power. And when I started to understand that, I was able to actually, and who says you can't cry with real tears? Who says you can't laugh from your gut? There's nothing so personal and so beautiful as when you do that. And then slowly, slowly, recovery started working with me. So I did, I do have to say that I did decide that my higher power has four qualities. He loves me. He's kind to me. He tolerates me. And he's accepting of me. And those were and are my four. And I continue to work this program in every area of my life. And that's what it's really all about. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Leah S. Okay, so I'm going to let everyone know again where we are. We're on page 55, the third paragraph. We finally saw that faith through one paragraph ending, "It was so with us," commenting on that one paragraph. And ready to take some more names.
Lisa M.
Vanita L.
Lisa
C.
And is it Vanita L?
Anita.
Anita L. Anita L.
IFP.
Hiya. Good morning.
Lynette.
Lisa C.
That might just be it for us. So Lisa N., Anita L., Haya P., Lynn S., and Lisa C. Let's start there and see if we have time afterwards for more. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Melissa. So great to hear your voice. Thanks for the meeting and moderating. Good morning, everyone. Grateful to be here today. I'm grateful to know that God is my friend. You know, I know I always believed in God, but I didn't believe God was the kind of God that would make a miracle happen out of something that was always a pain in my heart for me. I didn't think he could remove that pain. And I am so, I love this paragraph where it says that just as much as the feeling we have for a friend, that is truly what I know God is today. And but when I came in for this, before I came into OA, I was so full of myself that there was no feeling that I had a friend in God. I just felt that I was depending on myself all the time. And I searched and I searched, and I finally said to God, I can't do it. I don't know anything. And that's when I was brought to OA. Somehow I was given the message. Well, I know how I was given the message many times. And then finally I found myself driving in a car to an OA meeting and actually getting there and breaking down in front of total strangers, crying when I heard what I needed to hear. And I wasn't even willing at that point. I just was at the reality, at step one, I can't do it anymore. And I found this great reality in me that God was in me just like he was in everyone. And that's why I cried when these people talked to me. They were saying things that opened my heart. And it was about them and how they struggled with food. And they were being honest, I could tell, and I could relate to them. And that means that in everyone there is God, I believe. And it's just so amazing that yesterday I had an epiphany about a family member that I always have to pray for because that person bothers me so. And that person showed me by saying something unkind that I could be that way too. I had that same thought about somebody else. And then I realized that person was like me. They haven't found their higher power to be their friend yet. And I had to say thank you that I saw that bit of me that was still trying to be in control. And that I didn't need to do that. I could give that to my friend and cast my care on that friend who cares for me. So today, I don't have to have a lot of faith, just a mustard seed of it each day. I don't have to have a ton. I thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa N. Okay, next up is Anita L., followed by Chaya P. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you so much for your service. And good morning, everybody. My name is Anita L. I live outside of the Philadelphia area. And this is huge for me to share today, guys. You have no idea. I've been hiding out for months and months by not sharing on the line because not feeling worthy. However, I love this paragraph so much, and I thought I missed it last week because I had missed one day of listening. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful paragraph. Who would have thought that a power greater than me lives deep down within my soul? I mean, through the years, I've been in this program for many, many decades. Two-thirds of my lifetime, I've been in this program. And you know, I finally came to believe, and it grew and grew and grew, and then in a higher power, and then I got angry with God, and I had to start from that point of anger and build up again. And lately I've been having difficulty with faith and trust, and I did do my prayer and meditation this morning, and I did say, I added, God, I am yours and I trust you. God, I am yours and I have faith and trust in you. And I never say that normally as part of my prayer litany that I say in the morning. And I can act as if. I was told that many years ago, just act as if, and it'll come, and you'll find that peace and freedom. And that's what God, my personal higher power, can give me, inner peace, serenity, and freedom. And that is the greatest gift that I could receive. And it's all here in this book. And when God writes back to me in my two-way writing, a lot of the time God writes your BFF, you know, my best friend forever, my higher power loves me so. And I'm just so grateful that I can grow and I can go back and I can move forward in this program, and I'm not a failure. I just have to keep the faith that more will be revealed. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Anita. Okay. Next up is Chaya P., followed by Lynn S. Good morning, Chaya.
Good morning, Melissa. It's so great to hear your voice. Hi, everybody. My name is Chaya P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive reader, bulimic and restrictor. I live in New Jersey. And I just want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous. You're so welcome here, and maybe you're new to this Overeaters Anonymous meeting that we call A Vision for You. You've landed in a really strong meeting, and we're so glad you're here, and hopefully you'll take numbers at the end or let us know that you're new, and people will call you. When I came to this program many, many years ago, I'm 59, I came in when I was 18 or close to 19, I guess. I was not looking for a relationship with a higher power. No, that is not. It wasn't even on my radar screen. I was just trying to stop eating compulsively, binging, purging, dieting, laxatives, diuretics, Excedrin, the whole thing. And when they, you know, and to find out that the solution really is to look inside. At first, you have to look outside at all the other people who were recovering, and that pointed me inside. The steps pointed me inside to find a power greater than me that, you know, that can solve my problem. And I'm just so grateful that that was the solution, because, you know, 40 years later, my daughter's getting married today. It's pouring rain. I haven't slept in 2 days because I just can't sleep. You know, somebody's like, I canceled, like, whatever. And it's just like, it's okay, because guess what? I know that this higher power is in charge. And I don't have to worry. And you know what I'm doing? I'm packing up my food, just like I did when I got married 35 years ago. I packed up my food to make sure that I would be present for everyone else. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I want to also say the 10th step is so powerful. You know, when we recover, we have to live. I have to keep taking my spiritual insulin, which is step 12, but I need to stay in step 10 and step 11 in order to stay in step 12. And I was able to do a 10th step this morning, and I'm so grateful for the women in this program who love me enough to tell me the truth so that I could, like, get out of my tired head and you know, walk with dignity. And I'm just so grateful for all of you. And again, if you're new, please, please keep coming back, because it really does work. We come here because we can't stop eating, or we can't, whatever it is, but there's so much more than that here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Kaya P. Okay, next up is Lynn S., followed by Lisa C. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And, you know, the paragraph was just making me think of, you know, how, just making me think about God and God being in my life, and wasn't looking for God, didn't want a God. In fact, actively mocked those who did believe in God. And I remember the exact moment where I shut the door on any idea of God at all in my life. My best friend, Sheila, had suffered from cancer for a year. And the last year of her life was horrific. And she died. And I couldn't believe it. And back in the day, you know, the first thing I did was I drove to a mall and I looked for one of those newspaper kiosks. And I looked up obituaries and there she was, because I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And I remember at that moment shutting the door on God because, you know, even though I didn't believe in God, the deal was Sheila could suffer for a year, but then she'd recover, and what a miracle, and wouldn't that be great? Not suffer like that and then die, so forget it. But what's funny is, even though I shut the door on God, he didn't shut the door on me. And I remember, you know, when I was a kid and I kept saying, I want to go home, I want to go home. And my dad had died when I was 9 and we had to move. And I thought that was me just saying, I want to go back to where we lived before. I didn't realize that I wanted to go home was that yearning inside of me for God. And a couple of days before I ever came into OA, I remember standing in my kitchen chopping up vegetables and cottage cheese because it was Tuesday and that's what it said on the piece of paper. And I remember just standing there chopping this up and the Demi Moore tear rolling down my cheek. I cannot eat like this anymore. I cannot live like this anymore. It can't be that God looked down and said, I want the whole world to be happy, but you, Lynn Skilling, and I want you to be utterly miserable. And I said, there's got to be something wrong with me. And I remember hearing in AA meetings, they said, sometimes you get a moment of divine clarity before you even hit the rooms. And I believe that's what happened to me. I am so very grateful that this great reality was in me. I didn't know it, wasn't looking for it. Thank you, God, he found me again and again and again. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Lynn. Okay, Lisa, we have 2 minutes for you. So would you please go ahead and share, Lisa? Thank you.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. Hi, this is Lisa C. I'm recovered in New Jersey. Thanks so much for your service and for a really wonderful meeting. I love all the shares. You know, I know it was mentioned last week and it was pointed out to me the first time that I went through the book that this is the page where, like, the thesis question of this chapter, this essay, is answered. You know, the how and the where, right, that we find God. That's the question that's posed to us on page 45. And, you know, I think I just thought it was interesting to kind of note that, you know, we're not being told in the beginning of this chapter that we'll find out what God is or why, you know, why God is or why we should believe or who, right? We're only given that these are like the two important questions to answer, the where and the how of it. And I think, you know, this page is really talking about where, because it's so easy to look for God in other things. At least that's been my experience. And I just think that this idea of deep down within us, so important that it's repeated twice on the page, it's about embracing all the parts of the self, that I have to be a complete being in order to get well, in order to be healed. And that's physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, all these parts of myself. And I think for a long time, I would leave the spiritual part just kind of suffering a little bit. You know, the other parts were really the focus, the star of the show, but that spiritual part I would kind of leave hanging. And something that my mother always said to me from when I was very young, but she never explained it, and that I think today reading this paragraph, it just kind of made so much sense. She always said, your body is your temple, which I always took to mean like, I better take good care of myself. You know, I understood what a temple was. But I think that this idea that God is found inside is really what she was getting at and is what I've been looking for kind of the whole time. And just to kind of like wrap it up, because there's so much more that could be said, is that, okay, you know what, I'll wrap it up there. But yeah, so that's where we have to look. And I'm grateful that I got that memo today. And thanks so much. I pass.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much, Lisa C. Gosh, thank you to everyone who shared. Beautiful meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, August 3rd, is 23688. That's 23,688. And we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jessica C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Jessica.
Hey, Melissa, good morning. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us.
Jessica, star one, I think we lost you.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yep.
Okay, I'm not sure where I left off or where
you
I stopped
like
being heard.
You're like a line in. Our book is meant to be stressful.
Oh, okay.
Keep going. Yep.
Okay. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.